Hello, and welcome to episode 16 of The Tangles, official companion podcast to BeneathTheTangles.com. I'm your host, JP, known affectionately, or not, online as Japes and Japesland.
And I'm your co-host today, Charles, or TWWK.
That's right, this month we're featuring a special co-host. I'm sure most, if not all of you, are familiar with our founder and editor, Charles, who will be taking Sean's place as the co-host for this episode, 16. Thanks for coming on board this month, Charles.
I'm always glad to be here, JP.
Well, this month, we'll be jumping right into our announcements. We just have two for you. The first one, we have a new temporary column on the website. It's called Lina's Adventure in Japan, where Lina, one of our writers, muses about her current trip to Japan, where she's attending a discipleship training school through YWAM, also known as Youth with a Mission. You've heard a little bit about this a couple months ago on the podcast when we introduced that it was going to be happening, but it's actually happening right now, so be sure to check it out and we'll have it linked on the podcast page. Our second announcement for the month is to also be expecting our traditional 12 Days of Christmas anime posts, which will begin on December 13th and run through Christmas Day. We do this every year, and it's a great chance to see what all of our writers are saying and thinking as we all come together for this single special column. Or would you call it a column, Charles?
You could call it a column. I don't know. It's just a series of posts at the end of the year where we get to have some fun. So actually, the anime blogging community does a 12 Days of Christmas type thing where they talk about 12 different memories about anime over the past year, but we go one step further and we make it all about Christmas anime. So It's a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, I always look forward to not just writing my part, but reading everyone else's, because we get everyone together for this one special event every year. It's really cool, and you get to see all the different anime that have Christmas episodes.
Which is pretty much every anime nowadays, right?
Yeah. I mean, heck, even Himoto Umaru-chan had one. Well, with that, we're going to be moving on to Otaku Diet.
Otaku Diet.
While video game podcasts have a what we're playing section, and anime podcasts have a what we're watching section, since Beneath the Tangles covers more than just one medium, and the Tangles reflects that diversity, we decided to name this section Otaku Diet in order to include all types of otaku media, like anime, light novels, video games, manga, visual novels, and anything else applicable.
And while we started this section with the original intention of everyone sharing kind of something different that they're consuming, we've had the pleasurable coincidence of the last couple months Sean and I have been playing or watching the same thing, like Metal Gear Solid 5 or One Punch Man. And actually, again, this month, Charles and I, even though we have a different co-host, are watching the same thing. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I've been watching a number of shows, but the one that I've enjoyed most this season that's kept me at the edge of my seat, really, has been a show called Everything Becomes F, The Perfect Insider. It's been a unique and different kind of anime, especially for me. Mm-hmm. What have you thought about it, JP?
You know, I don't think this is a spoiler since this is kind of the entire premise, but I am a fan of the entire like locked room murder mystery case, that sort of genre. There are several games I've played that fit into that, and you know, I know it's pretty cliche, but I feel like it gives an opportunity for the writer to do some fairly creative writing, kind of, I don't know, Sherlock Holmes style. And, you know, Sherlock Holmes feels like it's reusing the same premise over and over, but, you know, it never actually reads like that. And so whenever I was getting into it and I realized after about episode two that that's what it was, I was pretty excited because I really like that sort of thing. But I'll be honest, I got into it a little late. I kind of marathoned it this last week up until where it is now. And I'm not really into it. Like, I'm not disliking it, but I'm not really loving it. So what exactly do you like about it?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I don't think it's a series that does well if you're a marathoning it. It has to be taken in short bursts. I think that's how the episodes are kind of designed. You know, you have, I guess, what, 15 or 16 minutes of the episode proper, and then it kind of hits you at the end with a couple minutes of flashback that sometimes is a little bit shocking, and then it leaves you at that point. So I think that's kind of the intent. And actually, for me, I'm kind of the opposite of you. I don't really like genre or type of story. I don't really like mystery in general, especially in anime, because I feel like mystery in anime really isn't that good usually. it's just okay. Like, things are brought out of thin air a lot. There's not a lot of connections or very loose connections. So I'm not usually into that. But I guess a couple of things I do like about Perfect Insider, despite the mystery element for me, I'm all about relationships. I really like the relationship between the professor and Moe in this episode and in this series. I think it's a lot of fun. JP, I don't know if you watched the last episode, but we've gotten a little bit more insight into what they were like in previous years. So that continues to develop.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen the most recent one. I think I saw the one before it.
It's pretty satisfying. I guess the other thing I like about it is that it's slightly pretentious. So I like my anime series a little pretentious, but not too pretentious that it's not accessible. Well, at least there's fighting in that, you know, so that kept me entertained. The idea, I guess, is that, in all sorts of medium, whether this is with, like, books or manga or movies, I don't want anything that's too artsy. There was an episode of Seinfeld, which was, like, my favorite series growing up, years and years ago, where they were all talking about The English Patient, this movie that won a bunch of Oscars. And one of the characters in the show was like, it's the most awful movie ever, but everyone else loved it. Well, I was with that character. I hated The English Patient because it was just so, it felt disingenuous and like, oh, look how like wonderful and marvelous we are in making this movie. Everything Becomes F has a little bit of that, but not too much, you know. They walk that nice line. I think someone who's really good at that is Abe, with like Serial Experiments Lane. Where, you know, it's a little bit high culture, but you still relate to it.
For sure.
I'm enjoying that aspect.
Oh man, this is exactly the kind of conversation we need to get Sean in on.
Yeah. Well, he can comment afterwards.
Well, you know, one thing that is extremely base level that I do really, really love about the show is I love the opening.
Oh, man, it's great.
And I mean, the song is catchy, of course, but I just love the way they approach the animation for it. Just that dancing, it almost actually looks like it's motion captured, but I can't really tell. It's just so fluid, and I love the sketch approach. I highly recommend, if you're not planning on watching the show, at least check out the opening for it. Well, that's what we've got for you this month. So, what was that show called again, Charles?
Again, this is, it's known by a lot of different, different titles, but I keep calling it The Perfect Insider, but that's actually a subtitle, so Everything Becomes F. The Perfect Insider, and JP, do you know the Japanese title?
I do indeed. Subete ga F ni naru. So check it out by one of those names and let us know what you think in the comments. This month, we had the pleasure of bringing in another blogger and someone we've had a relationship with named Tony Yao from Manga Therapy. We'll have his blog linked up on the podcast page. But I think you'll really enjoy some of the insight he brings, not just from his personal life, but from some of his studies, into how he approaches manga, anime, fiction in general. So why don't you check out this interview? For episode 16 of The Tangles, we're very excited to welcome another wonderful guest to the podcast. Our guest this month does work very similar to what we try to do here at Beneath the Tangles, which is find connections between the Japanese media we love and deeper themes that we can apply to our lives. He does this through his blog Manga Therapy, or Manga Therapy, subtitled, Where Psychology and Manga Meet. So without further ado, I'm happy to bring in the esteemed writer and blogger, Tony Yao.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show today, Tony.
Anytime. Thank you for reaching out to me, actually. I know, you know, scheduling, probably there were some scheduling conflicts, but here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Well, before we progress any further in the interview, could you tell our listeners a bit about who you are and what makes Tony Yao, Tony Yao? Am I pronouncing Yao correctly, by the way?
Yes, like the basketball player Yao Ming. If you can pronounce that name, that's fine. Wow. I don't know where to start, honestly. Like, I guess I could talk about how I got into anime in the first place.
Yeah, sure. That's a good place to start.
It all started back in, I guess, the early 90s in New York City, Chinatown, mm-hmm. which kind of has this, reputation for anime goods way back in the day. Like, you can see anime in certain blogs. And I went to a friend's place at the time. I think it was about after fifth grade. And he had a tape, VHS tape, Dragon Ball Z. But this was before Toonami, way before. Like, we're talking at least 1993.
Uh-huh.
And it was Chinese dubbed by Chinese network TVB.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched it. I think it was the Frieza saga, and I think it was the episode where I think Frieza just reached his second form.
I'll have to take your word for it. I'm not much of a DBZ buff.
Oh yeah, but it was that time, like the Frieza story, like just way like near where, you know, everything starts to drag,
uh-huh.
so to speak. And that's how I got. And ever since then, I got hooked. So yeah, that's how. And then my sister got into Sailor Moon, but then she didn't have that much interest in anime. Then ever since then, it's a slow, dark decline into anime.
Over several decades.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I got into manga, like, right after, actually, when the internet was, I guess, became more accessible to the public in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I found out about the Dragon Ball Z manga, and then I started reading manga after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's how it all started.
Well, how about, like, what you do professionally now? Does that relate at all to your interests, or is that separate?
That's I majored in marketing in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have a minor in psychology, but right now, I guess they kind of don't. They kind of don't tie into my interests. I mean, I guess, you know, the same for most people anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you tell our listeners what you do professionally?
Professionally, I work as a marketing associate. Mm-hmm. As a marketing associate, that's at a for-profit educational institution.
Mm-hmm.
And before, I worked in nonprofit, actually, mm-hmm. for an organization that helps parents who have low incomes and have children who go to public schools find jobs. You know, we provide all the training for them.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, I guess, like I'm thinking about going back to nonprofit. I guess right now.
So psychology is more of a hobby for you?
Yeah, I guess I could get into that, the psychology part, but then that also, I guess, that ties into the whole blog, too, in some way.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and explain some of the blog and how that ties in with psychology and your interest in that?
Wow.
yeah, sorry,
this is
going to
be a little
question.
Personal, I mean, honestly. It's funny because I actually wrote a blog post about this, about what happened 15 years ago with me.
Mm-hmm.
After I graduated high school, I started going to college. I started to fail classes, and then I didn't know how to deal with it. And plus, it didn't help that the college I was at the time was pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized my limits. That I was pretty. I tried to major in computer engineering. It was an engineering school.
That's not an easy major.
And then I started flunking, and I started having all these bad thoughts, like, oh my God, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why am I failing these classes? Because I kind of had this, like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, I guess. But mm-hmm.
I think a lot of our listeners can relate to what you're going through. The transition to college life is very difficult for many, especially if you're on a major like you're talking about. It's very difficult, very demanding.
Yeah, I just didn't expect it to be so hectic. And then I started getting all these bad thoughts, like, oh my gosh, I'm a failure, I'm worthless. You know, I can't get a 90 or, you know, 80, a B plus in these classes. Like, what am I here? You know, my friends, I started like thinking about suicide, you know, like all of a sudden, because I was just like, I've had it. And then, you know, then it just got worse and worse, like got worse. And then I left, I dropped out actually after like a couple of months. And then it took me a while to find some footing. You know, and it took a few years. And then finally I went to another college and I decided to major in marketing. And here we are, you know. I graduated like maybe two, I think it was 2007.
So would you say that experience is what interested you in psychology and propelled you into picking that minor?
Yeah, I actually, you know, I actually got, you know, I go see a therapist. I still do to this day, even though sometimes I feel like, oh, yeah, I don't want to go, I don't need them. But then at the same time, I just realize there's a whole, there's a lot of things I still haven't learned. You know, and I guess there are always new experiences I'm not comfortable with. And I got to learn how to deal with it, deal with them in a way.
Okay, so now then you've explained, I mean, very personally, and thank you for that, your interest in like Japanese media. And you've also explained how you got an interest in psychology. What made you decide to start manga therapy and combining the two?
It's funny because actually, like maybe it was at least 10 years ago, I always like was influenced by GTO, Great Teacher Onizuka. That was, you know, I know that for many people, that manga was just, you know, influential. And it's, you know, it said a lot about the youth in Japan. And the teacher was cool, you know. I don't know if you're familiar with that series. Have you, watched? Or
no, I am familiar with it. I have not watched or read it, but I've gotten a lot of recommendations.
It's actually really
for
good.
It.
I totally recommend it.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check it out. I've gotten plenty of recommendations already, so another one's definitely not going to hurt the chances of me watching it.
Yeah, I read GTO. I've had all 25 volumes from Tokyo Pop. God bless, rest in peace. Well, they're still there, but but GTO was a big influence in how I thought how much manga meant for people. And I think there was also another series too. I think that really started it. I usually talk about it with people too. It's Rurouni Kenshin.
Oh yes, of course.
That's everyone's favorite samurai. Everyone's favorite samurai manga. And I think there was a part in the manga where I think Kenshin becomes depressed. It was much later in the manga. And, you know, the enemy kind of psychologically cripples him. And he doesn't. He just goes to a recluse village. Like, he just stays there. Everyone tries to convince him to, you know, oh, Kenshin, get up, you know, fight back, you know? And he's just not moving. And he's just trying to figure out an answer to his life. And then someone convinces him, you know, you maybe you're holding on to the answer right there. And it's like, and the guy was talking about his sword. Like, he still holds on to it. That keeps him going. And, yeah, I guess, you know, it's those thoughts like that, you know, that maybe think, oh, yeah, manga's, you know, it's all psychological, you know?
Yeah, like psychological motivation, inspiration.
Yes, exactly. But the idea, I guess the blog didn't really take into fruition until like, I guess 5 years ago. Yeah, it was like, I think it was February 2010. And then
I was born very very close to Beneath the Tangles, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I think I talked to Charles about that, actually. We talked about that, actually. So. But I guess the idea actually came from a book, actually.
Oh, really?
It was from a marketing book. Believe it or not, it was about like cashing on your passions and things like that. I mean, the author kind of was saying, oh, you should start a blog, you know, it'll help your career and stuff. It'll help your resume, it'll get you famous, internet famous. But, you know, I guess that book is a little outdated now. But yeah, that book started it. honestly. It kind of gave me some motivation, actually. You know what? Let me just write something.
Mm-hmm.
See how it goes.
So did the original motivation before you got kind of pushed by that book, was that the desire to help people who were kind of in a situation that you had been before, who had the same interests or similar?
I think it was, honestly, like, I guess maybe I really wanted to help people. I mean, regardless if they were, like, anime fans, manga fans, mm-hmm. you know? Because I did, you know, I always told people, I even told my parents, like, I just don't want people going through the same stuff that I've read through.
Yeah, of course, of course.
No, I should. I mean, even I am grateful. I mean, in a way, you know, in a weird way, I am grateful for having these kind of feelings.
No, yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with that. And I've gone through similar experiences to you, I think, and that's probably a topic for another time.
Yeah.
But I know that I really value a lot of the experiences that I went through because it helps me to relate to other people. And so as a Christian, I mean, a lot of times we say that God puts us through things for a reason. And that's a pretty loaded statement. So we don't have the time to unpack that here. But the idea being when you go through something really difficult, when you make it through, you come out stronger and able to help other people who are going through something difficult.
Right.
So would you agree with that general sentiment then?
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, I am pretty grateful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, obviously it's very debilitating, you know.
Yes, of course.
It doesn't, people get the wrong idea that, oh, you know, gosh, once you get rid of it, it's gone forever, right? I kind of had, you know, had those thoughts too. And then I realized, you know, sometimes it just comes back.
Mm-hmm.
You never totally get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's okay.
Yes, absolutely.
You just have to learn how to accept it, which I know is very difficult to do.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. I know, because I've had my fair share of difficulties accepting that, you know, this is who I am. But I shouldn't be ashamed of it. I shouldn't be guilty, feel guilty or ashamed of it.
And that's why manga therapy exists.
Yeah, so to speak. I mean,
well, I think most bloggers would attest to the fact that blogging can not only help other people, like intellectually or psychologically, in the case of your blog, but it can also help the person writing, helps them to unpack a lot of things that they're thinking or feeling and put it into words for the world to see.
Exactly, exactly. I felt that way too. I think that post I wrote about my past 15 years ago, that was like probably the first time, like in written form, I've actually expressed to everyone like, oh, this is what I went through 15 years ago. And I actually mentioned the fact that it's something where I mentioned the fact that I actually been to a hospital once,
mm-hmm.
and which is something I don't really talk about. I didn't feel comfortable talking about in front of many people, but mm-hmm. I just felt like, you know what? I just wanted to get this off my back. Cause...
I wish we had more time to talk about some of these topics, but before we close out this interview for this month, would you mind just giving any of your final thoughts on like manga therapy and what you want our listeners to know about it?
You know, manga, it does things, it tells stories in a way that's very different from American comics.
Mm-hmm.
It's more expressive, so
mm-hmm.
I guess that's why I wanted to point out.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why manga therapy exists. I want to show what manga's all about, because I think, you know, there's not enough manga blogs, I think. Even like all the popular ones,
yeah,
they're all like, I guess, general review blogs, which are fine. Because I know Viz, Kodansha, Vertigo, they love them. But I guess I'm a little out of the norm. And I'm very little out of the norm. I'm happy. That's,
yeah,
that's
nothing wrong with that.
Out of the norm. Just like you guys too, right?
Yeah, I suppose we would consider ourselves out of the norm as well. Not very often you run across a blog searching for the intersection of Christian spirituality and otaku media.
Exactly.
But there's a place for it.
Exactly.
Well, Tony, thanks for your time and patience and coming in for the show this month.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
So for our listeners and readers, be sure to check out Tony's work at mangatherapy.com and also check out that article he mentioned. So don't worry, we'll have links for you on the podcast page beneath the Tangles. But with that, I'm going to thank you again, Tony, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, anytime, JP. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Tony.
That was a great interview, JP. I'm really glad that you brought Tony on. He's long been a friend of the blog. When I first started Beneath the Tangles, as you heard in the interview, was around the same time he started manga mm-hmm. therapy, and he was one of the first people that did a guest blog or a guest post on our blog. And I think I did one for his as well. We kind of switched back and forth. So mm-hmm. Another thing I really appreciate about Tony about that interview is how personal he got and how much he shared with us. I don't know how much you know about this, but in the Asian American community, for those of you who don't know, I'm Asian American myself. if you see my full name out there, it doesn't sound Asian American. If you hear my voice, it may not sound that way either. But I'm Korean American. Within the Asian American community, there's a huge stigma on mental health issues. So something you don't talk about, and not only that, but it's something that a lot of families hide instead of trying to get assistance mm-hmm. for their children. A lot of parents hide it. Thankfully, with Tony, it seems like he has a good relationship with his parents, but that's not the case with a lot of folks. So I hope that if you're struggling with any of these issues, and not just if you're Asian American, but maybe particularly if you are, that interview was encouraging to you and encourages you to go seek some assistance, some professional assistance if possible. Another thing that Tony brought up, which was interesting, I think, was how we can often see these difficulties that we're going through within anime characters.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a really unique.
Yeah, and he mentioned specifically Rurouni Kenshin, which unfortunately I have only seen a tiny bit of, and I haven't read any of the manga, but I know you're a huge fan. You've written about it a number of times.
I am. You know, it's JP. It's a good winter anime to go through. it's only 90 or so episodes. maybe I wrote this in a post, or I wrote it in a draft for a recent post. But if not the anime, which is actually pretty badly dated, the manga is still excellent. And Medieval Otaku would say the same. The manga is very, very good. He brought up a specific scene that I could picture in my head while Tony was mentioning it. And that's when Kenshin is feeling really down. And I'm going to give a spoiler here, so plug your ear for 10 seconds if you haven't heard this part. But
spoiler alert!
If you haven't watched it. But so at this point, Kenshin thinks that Kaoru, his kind of beloved, sort of, is dead at this point. Okay, spoiler over. He's got this stone face. He's just sitting down, unable to move, unable to respond to anyone. But eventually he finds that kind of strength within him to continue on. For us as Christians, I think we see things in kind of a different point of view, where we think about a lot of times that we're down in our doldrums. It's not always necessarily the strength within us. So I'm not going to argue against that. And I think, God gives us that kind of spirit, that human spirit, mm-hmm. to help lift us sometimes. Not just the Holy Spirit, but the human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely there's that kind of a reflection we see where there's that ability to pick ourselves back up, which is easier said than done. It's mm-hmm. easy to see in a moment. It's much harder in real life. If you're experiencing depression or anxiety, this is something that is not easy to do often, and it's something that Tony also mentioned that often comes back. But Kenshin is a good example of that. JP, is there anything else that comes to mind when we're talking about folks bouncing back or manga or anime characters doing the same?
Well, yeah, I mean, immediately when you said that, my thought or my mind went to Clannad. And yeah, we're going to have to do another spoiler warning here for like the next couple minutes, I think.
Big spoiler alert.
We're going to spoil some pretty big things. I'll like put something in post-production. Make sure you don't miss it. Well, there are two. The first one's not as big of a deal, but if you have ever seen Clannad at the end of the first season, and this also happens in the visual novel, if you've read that as well, you have that entire arc leading up to that drama with just Nagisa on stage. And you have a really, really touching moment when she kind of breaks down. Like, she's had all of this accumulated just crap in her life leading up to, and when she's up there and she just has a breakdown because she feels like she's a failure, especially to her parents. And then you have that really inspiring speech from her dad who runs in and basically lifts her spirits, like assuring her that like she is their dream. And so you have an example there of what happens, I think, when you enter like a depression or some sort of mental health issue and you have family band together, basically, and come together in order to help you. I think that is something huge that happens in real life, and one reason why a lot of people really struggle with these issues, because they don't have that family there supporting them.
Yeah, Clannad is a it gives us kind of an ideal situation, because I mean, anyone who's seen Clannad knows that it's a very unique property, because it's there's so much more to it than, you know, some typical modified anime. Mm-hmm. Because we see in someone like Nagisa and then later in Tomoya, characters that are definitely flawed, that we see their flaws, we see their failures, and we see the people around them are flawed also, but we see kind of an ideal situation, right? Clannad is referring to the idea of family. The mm-hmm. whole theme of Clannad is that extended family. And we see that support, that ideal situation where you have, by the way, probably the best dad in all anime, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, supporting Nagisa. And man, as you were talking about that, by the way, I was constructing an article in my head about father supporting, you know, the children in support of God. So I'm gonna have to get that on paper. Anyway, so you've got the physical family, you know, the actual relatives, and then you've got that group that they develop mm-hmm. That support one another as they go through their, you know, various crises, including that kind of dramatic final scene of the first, or not final scene, but kind of final arc of the first season with Nagisa.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember, and this specifically relates to how Tony was talking about how things that he read or watched like directly impacted him, or he could kind of empathize with. I remember when I watched that episode, I was watching with a friend of mine who really was not particularly into anime at all, but he got really into this because he was watching it with me, and he had gone through it. He didn't go into detail with me, but he had gone through some issues with his parents in the past that really reminded him of the problems that Nagisa was going through. And so when we watched that episode, like, he basically just, I turned and there were just tears streaming down his face. and you know what? It's funny. I talked to him and he's like, I never thought that a cartoon would evoke that emotion in me. But, you know, I think that goes to show that just good writing in general doesn't really matter the medium. If it's touching on a serious topic, something especially close to you, what it can do.
You know, I don't want this podcast to be like a love letter to Key, but Key, they know how to pull these emotions out mm-hmm. of you, but in a genuine way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not. I abhor anime that twists at the audience just to get to evoke some sort of emotion. Mm-hmm. Well, Key does that, but they're getting something real out of you. You know, mm-hmm. as your friend saw that, man. I've admitted this on a number of people, but it is weird to say. Clannad is the only anime and one of only two things in general, like fictional pieces in general. Well, actually, it's the only fictional piece that has ever made me cry, you know, but for an entirely different reason from your friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's able to pull out these things, whether it has to do with depression or anxiety, family, relationships, support, fatherhood, parenthood, siblings. There's so much there that we can relate with, that connects to our souls in some sort of way. And as you say, there's incredible writing that's going on there, and it's covered up by, you know, pretty girls in short skirts or whatever. great animation, but there's something so substantial below the surface here, which is why I'm always forever recommending Clan Ed and After Story, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and After Story goes into some even deeper issues in the first season. Now we have to have, like, if we had a spoiler warning before, now we have the super spoiler warning.
Super spoiler warning!
So, I don't even, like, I'm scared to say this, that we'll spoil it for someone.
Maybe we can kind of skirt around the, I don't know, well, let's try to skirt around as best we can, but we may not be able to.
Okay, we'll do our best. So, after the thing happens, and everyone, I would assume, knows what the thing is, then the character goes into a depression, not for some just like arbitrarily small amount of time, but for I believe 5 years. And so we don't see all of that, but it's written well enough that you can tell like that it's been going on for these 5 years, and you feel for the guy.
There's a really good I guess projection of kind of mental health issues here, because you mentioned this character's depression, but also what you see here also is this character becoming more and more like this character's parent, you know, where you have this cycle repeating, and it's something that this character never wanted to be like, and yet it's happening, you know, which is something that's pretty common also. And though you have obviously a fantastical element that happens here, that kind of throws off the realism here. There's, you know, there is this kind of uplifting message, which is partially true to real life, where you can overcome these things through the power of love. but I mean, you know, as stupid as that sounds, there's there's some truth there, and it's not that simple, but there is some truth there.
Yeah, and just as a quick side note, I will say that the ending for Clannad After Story, if you've seen it, you know it does introduce supernatural elements that seem kind of out of place. But, you know, very few people have I met that have, like, been seriously bothered by it. It's like, they think about it like, okay, like, that didn't really make much sense. It was kind of ridiculous. But you know what? Like, he deserved it at that point. And the other side note I'll give is in the visual novel, since it's adapted from a visual novel, they introduced some kind of meta-narrative that is literally just impossible to fully communicate in the anime. And they attempt to do it as best you can, but anime is just a linear medium. You have a single story going a single direction, and visual novels have so many branches. It kind of exploits that difference in medium to not its fullest potential. That would be in something like Little Busters, but that's a different story.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend that if you, I'm sorry, if you haven't, I'm never going to read the visual novel, but if the Clan Ed After Story ending bothers you, go read about the visual novel and how it ends and how everything connects, because it did bother me a little bit. And after I read an explanation of everything, it just, I was like, okay, I totally get it now. I totally buy it. I'm told, you know, it's great. And then also, we just want that character to be happy because they went through something that was very real and unexpected for viewers or readers. And I think we wanted that person to have a happy ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and going back to what you said, I had actually, as we're talking in the podcast, completely forgotten about that element of the cycle. Or ending up like the person that you didn't want to end up like. And it's kind of amazing now that I think about it. I had completely forgotten about that entire element of the conflict there. But one of the main conflicts in the entire first season is about how this character basically hates his father. And like everything that his father has done and how it's kind of like ruined his life or just how he's so incredibly distant, and how he would never want to be like that. And it's amazing to see how, like, even though you may have those feelings, how it can happen when you're put into a situation like that.
Definitely. And I don't want to, I guess I'm that guy that always connects it to something spiritual, which, you know, we kind of do here on the blog, but,
yeah, kind of the mission of the blog.
Yeah, a little bit. So I guess if you're looking at Clannad and if you have to attach some sort of religious principle to it, you might think, Buddhist principles, but, I definitely see, with that particular storyline, you look at what is able to free him from that cycle. Ultimately what it is, I keep not wanting to give away spoilers, but certainly it's forgiveness, and the power of forgiveness. And this is something that we see, all the time in real life, away from anime, where we see, where there's a victim and there's a perpetrator, and, the victim is freed through forgiveness, where we see this in individual things that happen, in like cases of drunk driving where a loved one died, or a case of rape, something of that sort, or even huge things like, I mean, not that those aren't huge, but things that affect a whole community or a whole civilization or a whole society, like genocide, where forgiveness helps people move on, whereas people who are unable to forgive, and justly not, because there's something horrible that's happened to them. But if they don't forgive, it just tears them apart and eats them apart, or eats them up. So we see this character, and he's had this tragedy, and it's compounded by his upbringing with his father. And it continues to tear him down until he gets to a certain point where he's able to forgive, and it just breaks everything apart. And the first time I cried in Clannad After Story is when that forgiveness starts to happen, because even though I had a good relationship with my dad, you know, I could still just so relate to the misery he was going through and the pain he was going through. And again, I think that's one of those things where someone who's had that kind of pain with their father, or missing father, or an abusive father, could probably really connect well with that character and with the pain that he was going through.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're reminded by talking to people like Tony Yao about how much fiction can just relate to what you're going through. Like, there are so many levels. Something that's written well, like Clannad, can just evoke so many emotions and connect to people on so many different levels. It's kind of incredible. And this isn't just anime, obviously. We're a blog that focuses primarily on anime and Japanese media, but, I mean, you can see this in anything. But going back to anime, I've been kind of thinking through my head as we've been talking about what are some other things that have kind of done this. And you know what I had forgotten about until just a minute ago was Death Parade. And I don't know if this did this for you at all, Charles, but I know I remember writing an article about one of the episodes in Death Parade. And the idea with Death Parade was every single episode they brought on characters who had different struggles in their life. Like, they were messed up in totally different ways. And one of the episodes, they brought on someone who had gone through depression and ended up committing suicide. And whenever you get this, you know, when all these characters come in, that they're already dead. So there's no spoilers there. They've died already. That's why they're in this world of Death Parade. But you don't really know why. And as you find out more about this character, you find out that he actually had a fairly decent home situation. He had, his parents were divorced, I believe, and remarried. And so, you know, on the outside, it looks kind of crappy, but you know, as they reveal more, that his stepmom, like, really, really wanted to connect with him. But yet, despite everything on paper seeming like it was okay, he just continued to fall into depression until he eventually committed suicide. And, you know, that really jived with me, because I remember going through similar issues where, you know, you look at me on paper at the time, and, senior year of high school, and, you know, it seemed like I had a really good life. And yet for some reason I couldn't shake this feeling of just like depression and abandonment. And I couldn't really figure out what it was. And when I watched Death Parade, I think like, man, what if I had gone down that road? Like, what if I had gone that far? I wouldn't be here today. And I remember that evoked an enormous emotional response in me that I wasn't expecting.
Fiction, you know, has that ability to take us places that our mind can't take us by itself. You know, that where perhaps we're thinking about our feelings, depression, suicide. But our mind is limited by its intelligence, by its creativity. But then we take an outsider perspective, like something like that Death Parade episode, which was very moving. I remember it well.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's a simple connection, kind of an obvious connection, maybe, where we can see the after effects of things, where we can see how people react, and it takes our mind somewhere where we otherwise couldn't go. Mm-hmm. That creativity, that bringing in other people who can share with us their feelings, their thoughts, their talent, and evoke these images in our mind, whether it's something on paper or something visual, something audio, certainly with music, and has the ability to take us somewhere really good.
Mm-hmm. Or really bad sometimes, maybe.
Oh, that's true too.
Are you still there?
I am.
Oh, your background noise just disappeared.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
I'm not sure why. Okay, well, let me think what I was getting ready to say. I thought you disconnected, so I was like, oh, dang it.
No, I'm here.
What was I going to say? So the idea of escapism, which is kind of what I get from what you were talking a little bit, can definitely have pros and cons. We've talked a little bit about like Clannad and Death Parade and how you can see pros. Like this is the example you should follow, like forgiveness, or what you shouldn't follow, like this character just descending further and further into depression. But I've also seen an issue with escapism, and I'm guilty of this myself, where sometimes you get so into fiction that becomes more of your life than your actual life. And, you know, it's hard to diagnose yourself with that when you're in it. And I can say this from experience. But, you know, I think that anime, at least in the Western community, tends to, maybe not as much anymore, but especially whenever it was more niche than it even is now, it tended to attract a lot of people who felt kind of marginalized. Maybe like the kids who were made fun of at school or something. And, you know, I kind of felt like that for a time anyway. And so what can end up happening if you're not careful is you end up spending all of your time in this fiction, this absence of reality, where maybe you can learn all these good lessons. But if that becomes your reality, then where are you going to apply those lessons? Right?
You know, I think... you sometimes have, I mean, we have this image of like shut-ins in Japan whose life revolves totally around anime, and that's not us, you know? But our, I guess the human being is kind of sneaky in a way, in that this can happen where we kind of develop these ideas and these kind of destructive ideas, things that kind of prevent us from growing. Mm-hmm. They kind of sneak up on us, you know? It doesn't take us like being people that don't take showers and just spend, you know, hundreds of dollars on DVD goods, you know, for that to happen. All it takes is being maybe an introvert. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I'm very introverted.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going out there and finding community, creating community within yourself, just absorbing anime, making, or whatever other medium, mm-hmm. making that kind of your community. And it's kind of like, what is it, like kind of a dead body of water where you don't have fresh water coming in,
mm-hmm.
Where it's just your ideas, your emotions. You keep feeding yourself sometimes negative things, and it's hard to bring some of these good things in. Again, we're talking about creativity and watching some things that can help us, right? But if we're not bouncing ideas off of each other, where we're not supporting each other, where we don't have family, we don't have a family like in Clannad, it can become poisonous to us.
Mm-hmm. And I think any informed worldview, not just a Christian worldview, is going to tell you that human beings are inherently social creatures, and you can only deny that for so long. And
yeah, definitely. You know, I think, I mean, I think the hard part too is that we're in a society now where most of us are at least, you know, past our teenage years, and a lot of teenagers too are very media savvy. We know, you know, what's good for us, what's not. We know that if we watch some sort of piece of media that's all like pro murder, pro death or whatever, well, of course I'm not going to be like that, right? But again, it's just so easy to start falling into negative images, negative things, you know. It's something that can corrupt our life, you know. And I think JP and I both understand this. I mean, certainly when I was probably a senior in high school too, and going into college, I was just very prideful, just knew my worldview, at least I thought, and I was also in a depressed state. So it was just very, it really took people around me, first close friends and then the church, to pull me out of this, right? And understand that, oh man, like, I can't depend on Tenchi Muyo and, man, Evangelion. Oh, that's about my favorite series at the time. You know,
not the thing to watch when you're depressed.
And manga and whatever else was going on, you know, I needed more than that, you know, but it's that kind of like, we know what we need, but are you going to be able to do it? You know, are you going to push yourself to do it? And, you know, a lot of times, like, I don't think I will, you know, this is more comfortable to me just to stay here in my room here.
Yeah. So I'd say kind of the general theme of this entire conversation is we're emphasizing the importance. Well, when you're consuming fiction, you know, Tony really emphasized the importance of consuming fiction. You know, it can expand your worldview. It can expand your intellect. And it definitely can. We talk about like Clannad and all the positive values you can gain from that. And, you know, there's a place too for just kind of throwaway fiction, just just something fun. But you always have to keep that in mind when we're talking about psychology and your mental state, that you need to have a supportive community around you. You know, as Christians, we have the church. That's kind of like a really easy go-to.
Hopefully.
When I was in Japan, I remember feeling very isolated for a while until I got integrated into a church, or I got plugged into a church, and it was like I had a second family all of a sudden. It's crazy just how quickly everyone and how happily everyone like adopted me into that family. And so, you know, if you're not a Christian, you need to find something like that. Otherwise it can be really hard.
Absolutely. And JP, can I end our little conversation here with the second most important thing that we learned from our little discussion?
Yes, please.
Go watch Clannad.
Yes. Somehow I knew that was coming. All right. Well, I think on that note, we're going to be moving on to this month's listener mail.
Listener mail.
This month, for listener mail, in order to get into the holiday spirit, since this episode will be going up on the...
Don't you mean gobble gobble?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not even going to edit that out. Gobble gobble. America's Thanksgiving Day. We decided to reach out to our listeners to hear a bit about what they're thankful for. So we got a few answers, and here's what we got. Our first answer comes from, you know, I've been staring at this and I still haven't decided what to say. Is it werewolf or is it warwolf?
I think it's war because it's war, W-A-R, warwolf.
Okay, so it's a pun on werewolf with the word war. So werewolf archivist. I'm stumbling all over the place. Werewolf Archivist answered, "This year has been rough for me, but I guess I can be thankful that I haven't given up. I'm still here and still moving forward." And you know what? That is something worth being thankful for.
Absolutely. Victory Rose Art replies, "I'm thankful that my family and I could help my grandma. I'm thankful for my fantastic parents and everything they do. I'm also thankful that my bro will be coming home for Thanksgiving. Smiley face.
I'm glad you said the smiley face. I was wondering. All right, number three comes from Lady Teresa Christina, who answered, I've been having a very hard time feeling thankful, as I'm not very content with where God has put me at the moment. But a friend helped me sit down and write down what I'm thankful for. One thing we came up with, as funny as it is the fact that... dot, dot, dot. And they ran out of characters.
Tumblr character limits. Another thing to blame the Tumblr staff for.
So,
all right. I'll move us forward.
Yes, please.
So Alice in Tokyo Land, who's actually one of the followers I'm pretty close with on Tumblr, says, all my caring friends and family, and I don't know what this smiley face is, but it is an semicolon and a V.
Yeah, I was wondering that. It's a winky open mouth.
Very nice.
And our fifth and final response comes from Wonderful Catman, who has wonderfully catmanned himself into most of our podcast listener mails. I'm thankful for all my friends and good relationships I have with my siblings. And you know what? I think now would be a good time for us to maybe share some of the things we're thankful for. So I, having reflected on Wonderful Catman's wonderfully Catman answer, is actually very similar to something that I've been really thinking about a lot. And I know Charles knows this very well because I have been talking to him about it, but I had a really just awful last couple weeks. It's probably the most stressed I've been academically for my entire collegiate career, and most likely for the rest of it as well, since I only have one semester left. But, you know, I kept thinking the whole time I was under all of this stress and duress, how good of a place I am in life. Just to have the people around me that are supportive of me and the family I have that's supportive of me that helps me get through this. And, you know, we've talked about psychology and depression this whole time and how incredibly thankful I am to have, you know, not just a God who cares, but, you know, people, friends and family who care about me and want to make sure that I'm getting through okay.
That's really nice, JP. You know, a lot of our listeners, or maybe some of our listeners, I don't know a lot, may not have that, you know. And while our staff probably can't be that kind of support you need, we'll try. You know, if you're struggling with something, you know, reach out to us, and if you feel willing to do that, then we'll try our best to help you through what you're going through, or point you mm-hmm. someone who can help. You know, I think for me, besides the usual, which is plenty to be thankful for, which is our relationship with Christ, my family, my church, having employment and so forth. That's something to very, very well be thankful for. And the blog, by the way, is the hardships I've had this year, because this year has been harder than last year in a lot of ways, pretty much every aspect of my life. There have been difficulties in family. There have been difficulties in ministry. Even difficulties in blogging and with the Tumblr I run on the side. But through that, I really feel like God has been pushing me to grow, and you know that's part of the reason, you know, that we're here. We're trying to grow and know God more and really just to be able to help build His church. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for, in any ways that I'm suffering for ministry or in ministry, that I'm able to suffer with Christ, which is something that the Bible states we should do. So, you know, when I'm able to reflect and stop throwing a pity party sometimes, which, man, I had a bad one the other day where I was like, but what about me sort of thing? You know, I can sit aside and I can stand aside and say, oh well, you know, maybe I'm being a little bit more faithful, and maybe God is entrusting me with some more things, and maybe if it's not that, at least He's pushing me to grow. So I'm definitely thankful for all that, and I can put my little smiley face or semicolon V next to my thanks this year for all that I'm going through.
Great. Well, I think that about wraps up this episode of The Tangles. So if you enjoyed what you heard in today's interview, definitely be sure to check out more of Tony's work at mangatherapy.com, which we'll have linked on the podcast page. And as always, for more articles and media on the intersection of otaku culture and faith, check out beneaththetangles.com. Later, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, gobble gobble.
's for listening to this month's episode of The Tangles, official companion podcast to beneaththetangles.com. Be sure to check out our full site for more articles and analyses on the intersection of otaku culture and faith. If you would like to submit a question, send an email to thetangles@outlook.com. Also, be sure to follow our Twitter, @AnimeTangles, and like our Facebook page, Beneath the Tangles, and rate and review The Tangles on iTunes. Featured opening and closing songs are Japanese Dream by Duke Ellington's Orchestra and Blue Piano Stomp by Johnny Dodds, available in the public domain. Again, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll tune in next time for The Tangles.